Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joel Gill. Your report brought to you each and every Saturday morning by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service, located right off I-94 in Avon. This week, we are going to replay a segment of Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen was in Nashville, Tennessee for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, their big annual event, their biggest event of the year. And he spoke to Ethan Lane with NCBA talking beef and also really diving into details about DC and what's going on and what has their attention. I thought it was important to replay some of those highlights as we check in once again with Jesse Allen from AOA on this week's edition of your Central Minnesota Farm Report.
This is the highlight event of the year for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Joining us now, Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President, Government Affairs for NCBA. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
It's great to see you. I'm doing well. We're mid-convention week here. We're through the policy committees. We've got 10,000 of our closest friends hanging around. Couldn't be better.
You guys slid into my backyard here and got prepared for the convention a few days ago.
You know, I talked to you, I think, last week, and we were still under all this ice that's still in D.C. Yeah. And I was kind of getting those weather reports, but it's cleared up nicely. It's great here.
No, it's great. Well, and this is such a fun venue for you guys to be in. Not only this year, but next year, you guys are going to return here to the heart of Music City, to the Music City Center.
We are. First time in downtown Nashville. We've done the convention here for years at Opryland. People are loving downtown. They're loving the steakhouses. They're loving being able to walk to Broadway. We'll be back again next year. They'll know where to go. It's going to be a great, great spot for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about this year. You mentioned you wrapped up a lot of the policy conversations. So I know there's no shortage of topics. We're not going to get to them all in 10 minutes here, but what are some of the key things that you guys have discussed here this week? What's on the docket for the year ahead?
A lot of conversation about the New World screwworm. Obviously, that's been kind of on everybody's mind in the cattle industry over the last year. You know, we're at that point now where we kind of know the status, right? We know the situation on the ground in Mexico. We're looking at that closed U.S. border and talking about what it's going to look like when we do end up, you know, with New World screwworm here in the U.S., pushing the administration on building out those facilities that we need to make sure that we have the 400 or 500 million sterile flies a week we're going to need to defend that southern border and push this incursion back south again. Make sure we have those movement controls and not movement controls, but movement protocols in place when we do get it on the U.S. side of the border to ensure that we can keep supply chain moving and we're not burdening producers, you know, with some of this stuff in a way that is worse than it has to be, knowing this is going to be a tough situation for people.
Beyond screwworm, that's obviously going to remain a very hot topic, closely watched, but obviously there's a lot going on in D.C. Talk about some of those items, and I'll let you just take it here because, as I said, there's a lot of things going on right now, Ethan.
So, you know, it's a mid-cycle year, right? We're in that midterm election cycle, and that is always a low productivity environment on Capitol Hill. We've got a one seat majority in the House of Representatives for Republicans. The body just can't do much. And so we're really looking to the administration to keep the ball going in the forward direction on deregulating, right? There's a lot of work to be done to unwind some of the work of the Biden administration, to make sure that we're making progress on some of the land use regulations, NEPA, the Endangered Species Act. You know, we have massive gray wolf problems in the West. Our producers are just under attack from gray wolves. Trade continues to be a really big issue with the president's tariff agenda. You know, we've been supportive of that agenda, but we're looking at the specifics of how that's playing out in these conversations. Great news in the UK with that 13,000 metric tons of access, still a tremendous hurdle for us in China with those 400 facilities delisted by the Chinese government. Definitely a negotiating tactic on their part, right? That's not a coincidence that they did that right around the time the president came out with these tariffs. So continuing to look at that landscape, watching the Europeans with their European Union deforestation regulations that's really impacting our producers in the Southeast that have a timber overlap with their operations. So a lot of moving parts with not a whole lot of tools to fix some of those things with those tight margins in Congress. So you really have to work that regulatory process. And you know, that's where we're kind of putting our effort in right now to really make sure the administration understands how important that is.
The China issue, real quick, it's something that there just hasn't been any movement on this. And to your point, a negotiating tactic is all it seems like, because there really is no reason why these beef plants should be delisted. And it's, it is having an impact, of course, on beef trade.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's about $165 a head, I think, from the last numbers I saw in impact to producers from that. And we're in such a good cattle market right now. We have those tighter supplies. Demand is incredibly strong for our product because it's worth it. And the result of that is that it's easier for producers to sort of, you know, ignore the fact that that's happening. But boy, if you're set up to ship into that market, or that's where your product is going, you're feeling the pinch pretty hard. And it is without any merit. So it's mm-hmm. sort of making sure the administration understands this continues to be a really big priority for us. They have talked about the fact there are going to be additional negotiations with President Xi. We hope that at that point, there's going to be an opportunity to close that tab and get back to work there and kind of resume some commerce. But also opening these new markets can make up some of that, right? As we work through Southeast Asia, Indonesia, places like that, not a whole lot to do in India. Turns out they're not huge beef eaters. But, you know, next door, some of those other countries, they do eat a lot of beef. So we can make up some of that lost ground in some of those other areas as well.
Ethan Lane, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, with us here at CattleCon 2026, USMCA. I have to imagine that's been a topic here as well, as that is set for review here in just a few short months, Ethan.
It is, and I think there's a lot of speculation right now on where the president's head is at as far as, you know, a whole package, as we all are accustomed to, and quite frankly, the supply chains are accustomed to. You know, there have been some conversations about him maybe wanting to divide those and you know, talk to Mexico separately than Canada. You know, that is not something I think most industries in the U.S. would be supportive of. We know the president likes to take these creative approaches. We know he doesn't often seek advice from conventional sources when I'm trying to find a delicate way to say that, but you know, I think that's the thing everybody's watching in that negotiation is we've had so much tumult in that those North American relationships in the last year. We all watched the president, the prime minister of Canada and Mexico, in Davos a few weeks ago, talking about you know, some of those issues surrounding the Greenland situation. We know there are some strains in that relationship. And that's one of those things where we watch those international issues and there's a direct line back to our pocketbooks in the cattle industry. So we're going to be watching that closely and putting our input in to make sure that we're getting a good result out of that.
What about the packers and some of that issue there? You continue to hear chatter from the administration that they want to look at this. I've seen some exclusives this week with Ag Secretary Rollins talking about this as well with other ag media. I mean, What's NCBA's stance on this? What are some conversations you guys are having about what might happen here with the Big Four?
You know, I think we're always, I mean, I don't know that I remember a time that we weren't having this conversation, right? Or this scrutiny. And history would tell us that there hasn't been a time where there hasn't been this scrutiny for the last 100+ years, right? This is the most scrutinized supply chain on planet Earth. I mean, the U.S. cattle and beef supply chain has entire cottage industries surrounding it that just trade in rumor and speculation and paranoia in some instances about the packers. At the same time, this is a complex relationship between these different segments of the supply chain. And it's important to continue to look at that balance and make sure that we have the right tools in place. We have the right enforcement mechanisms at packers and stockyards, that those rules are being fully enforced, and that each segment of the supply chain is getting fair access and a fair shake. That's what we do in this building. That's what we do with our policy process, is not take a side other than the side of our producers in the supply chain to make sure that thing is working well. But the fact is, we need them to process about 600,000 head of cattle a week in this country. Someone needs to keep that end of the supply chain moving. So we have to pay attention to all of it. We have to make sure it's working properly, and we have to make sure our producers feel that they can trust that process as they sell those cattle into that supply chain.
And I think the supply chain at the moment, I'm sure this is a talk around here as well, kind of adjusting to, you know, the Lexington, Nebraska plant closing and things of that nature. I mean, you take a big plant like that out of the equation, obviously there's going to be some supply chain changes that happen there.
Well, there are. And, you know, I mean, coming from the West, I mean, you look at the impact that you would have with a plant that size going offline, it'd be catastrophic. Yeah. It is catastrophic in that area, for those producers that were set up to sell into that plant. They do have other marketing options nearby. But I think, you know, there's always that discussion of the match between what the neighboring plant might be processing and what they might be prioritizing versus what you've set up your operation to produce. So I think we're watching those sort of shake out now and watching those folks find a different place to go with their cattle. And we'll see what's left there and whether there's some work that needs to be done. It's never going to be easy for someone's priority option to get their cattle processed going offline. And we've always known there was going to be a point in this cycle where we see some tumult there. And certainly we're seeing that. But I think we're all watching now how the dust settles on that transaction.
final minute and change. It's not all challenges. Plenty of wins to celebrate, too, with the one big beautiful bill and more. I mean, final thoughts from you as we close out this segment, Ethan.
You know, I think that's been the theme of this week, is that there's so much good stuff to talk about. There are a lot of wins. We have the renewal of those tax provisions. We have some real good progress on, you know, that financial toolkit for producers. We're looking at these escalating land values around the country. It's harder and harder to hold on to the farm. These tools help do that. What a great opportunity. The farm bill portions that we're concerned with, done, right? We're going to start to see the effects of those later this year. We're hopeful they're going to make some more progress on things like Prop 12. But we are seeing that progress. We're seeing a lot of movement in the Department of Interior on land regulations. We're seeing a tremendous amount of progress at EPA in the same boat. There is a lot of good stuff to talk about. And at the top of that heap, we're producing the best beef anyone in the world has ever tasted in this country, and consumers can't get enough of it. This is not the same as eggs. They have a choice for protein when they go to the grocery store. They're choosing beef because it's worth it and it tastes good. And that is something we've built over decades. What a great story to tell.